Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Ashok Leyland Q2 FY25 results conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mukesh Saraf from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Tanmaya. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the 2Q FY25 post-results conference call of Ashok Leyland. From the management team, we have with us Mr. Dheeraj Hinduja, Executive Chairman, Mr. Shenu Agarwal, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. K.M. Balaji, CFO. I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Shenu Agarwal for his opening remarks, post which we'll take the Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mukesh. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today. I am excited to report our company's performance for quarter ended September 2024, which reflects our commitment to sustainable and profitable growth. The MHCV industry started off on a good note this year with 10% growth in Q1. However, this momentum was dampened in Q2 by seasonal factors like extreme weather conditions, uneven distribution of rainfall, and slow takeoff in government CapEx spending, resulting in a 12% drop in MHCV industry volume. We believe these are temporary factors. We remain optimistic about industry prospects for H2 and also for the medium term. While Ashok Leyland's domestic MHCV truck volume was lower by 18%, the MHCV bus volume was higher by 8% YOY. Overall domestic MHCV volume was at 25,685 units, vis-à-vis 29,947 units in Q2 of last fiscal. Sequentially, domestic MHCV trucks TIV was higher by 1%, and Ashok Leyland's domestic MHCV truck volume was higher by 2%. Ashok Leyland's Q2 FY25 MHCV domestic market share grew sequentially to 31.2%, vis-à-vis 30.6% in Q1 of current year. In the bus segment, we continue to maintain leadership position with market share of close to 35%. We remain committed to achieving our medium-term MHCV market share goal of 35%. LCV domestic volume was at 16,629 units, vis-à-vis 16,998 numbers in Q2 of FY24. Within our addressable market, while the TIV was lower by 8%, Ashok Leyland volume was lower by 3% YOY, resulting in an improved market share of 19.8%, vis-à-vis 18.9% in the same period last fiscal. Despite global challenges, our export volume continued to grow in double digits, registering a growth of 14% on YOY basis and of 42% sequentially. We are intensifying our expansion strategy in our focus markets of SAARC, Middle East, Africa, and Asia, aimed at posting the best performance ever during this fiscal. Engine volumes were also higher by 17%, and spare parts revenue grew by 13% on YOY basis. Overall, Ashok Leyland CV volumes were lower by 8% YOY in line with industry, but was up 4% sequentially. Non-CV businesses continued to post healthy growth. While Q2 MHCV industry had a 12% drop YOY, Ashok Leyland's revenue was lower by 9% at rupees 8,769 crore. EBITDA was lower by only 6% at 1,017 crore. EBITDA margin for Q2 stands at 11.6%, better than 10.6% in Q1 of current year, and also better than 11.2% in Q2 of last year. Operating PBT at rupees 878 crores was almost same as Q2 of last year. Reported PAT at rupees 770 crores was higher by 37% vis-à-vis 561 crore in Q2 last year. The improvement in profitability reflects our continued focus on profitable growth through better price realization, efficiency in sourcing, and streamlining of business operations. Material cost as a percentage of revenue was at 71.2% than 73.5% in Q2 last year and 72.2% in Q1 of current year. This was supported by benign steel prices and our continued focus on material cost savings. Margin improvement was also supported by impressive growth in spare parts, power solutions, and international business operations. Our balance sheet and cash position has grown even stronger in this quarter. Net debt at the end of the quarter was at rupees 501 crore, much lower than 1,139 crore at end of Q2 last year, and also lower than rupees 1,295 crore at end of Q1 of current year. Debt equity ratio at the end of the quarter was 0.05. Courtesy improvement in our operating performance, cost structure and debt metrics, credit rating agencies with ICRA and CARE have upgraded Ashok Leyland rating from AA to AA+ with a stable outlook, reflecting their expectation of a healthy profile going forward. CapEx for the quarter was rupees 153 crores and 307 crore cumulatively for the year. AL has not made any investments in any of the subsidiaries and associate companies during the quarter. However, investments may be required to be made in second half of the year. Q3 FY25 financial performance, Q2 FY25 financial performance reaffirms our commitment to move forward towards our medium-term objective of achieving mid-teen EBITDA. We are clear that we are not going to discount our products to win market share. Our market share wins will come on the back of product superiority, cost leadership, excellence in service delivery, and our expanding reach. Ashok Leyland continues to focus on product and process innovation. We launched new products across segments. We launched our third LCV new product of the year, Bada Dost i5, which has received excellent response from the market. To address white spaces in ICV bus segment, we have launched Oyster ZI AC bus for school and staff applications. We are also progressing well on development of alternate fuel vehicles. We received a large order of 180 electric trucks in 19 and 55-ton categories. We are also progressing well on creating the new centers of excellence for EVs. In pursuit of creating a benchmark in service delivery, we launched our Uptime Solution Center, providing 24/7 support and delivering both diagnostic and prognostic solutions to technicians, drivers, and fleet owners. Switch and OHM are also doing well. OHM, our EMAS subsidiary, has now been fully activated. Recently, it has been awarded an order of 500 buses from Chennai MTC. Switch is active in fulfilling DTC order of 1,200 buses, supplies of which would start later this year. This would be a complete newly developed low-floor electric bus with very contemporary design and features and is updated with all the recent advancements in technology. As advised earlier, Switch India is expected to achieve EBITDA break-even this fiscal. Reverse merger of Hinduja Leyland Finance with Next Digital is on track, and we are in the process of obtaining the necessary approvals from RBI. This is likely to get concluded before end of Q1 FY26. Ashok Leyland made significant progress on its long-term ESG commitments towards carbon neutral operations by 2030, net zero by 2048, and achieving 1 million child coverage by 2028 under our Road to School program, which was recently awarded the Distinguished Changemaker Award from Hindu Business Line. Ashok Leyland has been ranked number 2 among automotive companies and number 34 among India's most sustainable companies at the recent Businessworld's sixth Sustainability World Enclave. To sum it up, we have made good progress on all our key medium-term goals: mid-teen EBITDA, MHCV market share of 35%, growth in non-CV businesses, leadership in alternate fuel vehicles, value unlocking from subsidiaries, and moving steadfastly on our long-term ESG commitments. The pulse on the ground is quite positive. Festive season has proved that consumption story is intact. Most macroeconomic parameters are favorable. Private CapEx is on the rise. We expect government spending to also pick up in H2. We hope to see cuts in interest rates in the near term. With all these, we continue to remain optimistic for the CV industry for H2 and for the medium term. I now hand it over to moderator for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants present on the audio bridge who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. The first question is from the line of Gunjan from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, team, for taking my questions. My first question is on industry growth. I mean, while I understand, you know, there is an expectation on government CapEx normalization, but I think the prints recently have continued to disappoint, right? I mean, October itself was quite weak when I look at the wholesales that came through. So, you know, if you can give us more insights on what is really happening on ground in terms of transporter sentiment and also the trends across various segments, because when I look at the vehicle segments, intermediate seems to be doing pretty well, while tractor trailers, tippers are languishing a lot. So some color on what's really happening on ground and what is driving the optimism that things will come back in the next few months.
Yeah, Gunjan, thank you for the question. You know, as I said in my opening statement, I would like to just reemphasize the point that what we have seen in Q2, we believe is more of a temporary phenomenon. When we started the year, we were all saying, and most of the people were saying, that H1 would be -15% drop, and eventually we are at close of H1 now, where we have seen only -2%, like 2% drop in the MHCV industry, right? So things are moving much better than expected, firstly. Then secondly, I would say that, when we look at any of the factors on the ground, you know, like more fundamental factors, which are like fleet utilization or freight rates or anything else, I think those are moving in the right direction. In July and August, I was in the market, and, you know, especially in the central and eastern India, we had a situation because of monsoons and other things, that the fleet utilization was as low as 60% to 65%. In some areas, even the, I mean, we got to hear that fleet utilization was as low as 30% also, right? So now in October, if you have seen the data, recent data that was published on fleet utilization, it is already up to the level of 95% on an average in the country. In some areas, it is slightly lower still, but I think the trend is very, very positive. If you have also seen the recent ICRA report, It has projected a growth of 0 to 3% for the whole year in MHCV trucks. You know, that what that means basically is that the industry in H2 has to grow by about 6 to 10%. Right? So, there is a positive narrative building up, because I think the acceptance that Q2 was temporary is quite widespread right now. And that is what is building optimism for us as well.
Okay, got it. This is quite useful. And when you say, when you look at the 0 to 3% which you mentioned, I mean, are we confident that we'll actually end the year at a low single digit growth?
I mentioned that is ICRA's estimate, right? What we are thinking is that we definitely see some positive momentum on the ground, right? And we'll wait to see how it turns into volumes, positive momentum on volumes, etc. But I think at the worst, we are not seeing any degrowth in H2, I would say.
A degrowth for full year or degrowth in H2?
Degrowth for H2 we are not seeing. So we are seeing at the minimum H2 should be kind of flattish, if not positive, like what ICRA is saying.
Which would still mean that on full year basis we'll be negative, right? Because first half itself.
H1 has been only 2% negative, right? So we are talking about like 1 or 2% here or there. And you know that the H2 industry is far more than H1, right? So even... you can do the math, but we are quite hopeful that H2 would turn out to be good.
Okay, got it. My second question is on the margins. Clearly, you know, commendable delivery there and consistently for last many quarters now. If you can just share some color on, you know, on the gross margin improvement that we've seen in this quarter, you know, what are the key variables driving this, you know, in terms of commodity, mix, etc., and how should we be thinking about this going into the second half? You know, are there any tailwinds beyond operating leverage that we should keep in mind for second half?
So, Gunjan, we are not doing anything different, really. I mean, you know, 1.5 years back, we went to the market and we told that our goal is, sustainable, profitable growth. And that is what we have been doing all along. You know, there's nothing different we have done. I mean, the levers that we had explained in that analyst meet are the same levers we are addressing. You know, whether it is trying to get more realization out of our products on the back of, you know, strengths we are building in the product, or it is, addressing the various cost opportunities that we have inside, whether in terms of product cost or in terms of any of the overhead costs. You know, trying to grow our non-MHCV businesses, which are, some of these are really very high margin businesses like defense, aftermarket, and even international operations. Yeah. So that is the focus. I think the team is very, very focused on stuff that has to be done. And this is what the Q2 results are also showing. You know, despite a 9% drop on the top line, which was driven mainly by the industry drop, we have still been able to post a 12% growth in our PAT, even if we exclude the exceptional items.
So can you give a quantum as to how much was the commodity tailwind, metal tailwind per se on a quarter-on-quarter basis? And also, you know, percentage of non-vehicle business, that is high margin business that you typically call out, you know, some how has that moved maybe from last quarter to this quarter?
Balaji here. There has been a considerable softening which has happened on the prices of steel. Flat steel, proprietary steel, all these have gone down by about 2.5 rupees per kg on a near opening rate of 61 rupees. So all these have got translated to half a percent margin reduction. And similarly, on the cost reduction initiatives, just like what we did in last 2 years, as our MD was indicating, we are not doing anything different. The same levers we have used, and the cost reduction exercise is continuous, and it is also continued for the current financial year with a higher target, and all these targets are materializing, and we have got additional 0.5% from that. So all these are getting translated to 1% reduction on the metal cost, which you are seeing.
Okay, got it. This is useful, sir. I'll join back with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Chandramouli Muthiah from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, and thank you for taking my questions. My first question is just trying to understand the back half of this year and the base effects from last year. I think in the December quarter, we had 4 to 5 state elections last year. This year doesn't seem to be recurring. Also, in the March quarter, which is seasonally stronger, in last year there was pre-general election sort of factors, which may be subdued the base. So just trying to understand, at the current run rate of demand that we're at, heading into maybe the seasonally stronger back half, how do you think about the base effects, and is that supportive for potential outperformance on growth going forward?
Chandramouli, thank you for the question. Yes, we think that base effect is also going to help the industry in some way. You know, like you rightly said, December we had some disruptions in some of the markets because of the elections, state elections. And then March, quarter four was not particularly as good. I mean, it had a negative growth, substantial negative growth last year in quarter four. So we are sitting on a kind of a lower base. Now, in comparison to this, if you look at April, October last year, we had a considerable growth, right, in the MHCV industries. So things turned around like around November because of the reasons that you have stated. And therefore, this base effect should help going forward.
Got it. That's helpful. My second question is just around the mandatory AC cabin norms. So just trying to understand that slightly better across MHCV and LCV. If you could just give us some color on presently what is the share of vehicles, the vehicles that you sell that already is air-conditioned on the cabins, LCV and MHCV. And also, by what time would this potentially become 100%? And if so, what is the kind of ASP delta on non-AC vehicles versus AC vehicles on your fleet?
Yeah, there's not going to be a considerable point as far as the impact is concerned, because the additional delta cost that we are looking at is even less than 0.5%. Yeah, so it's not going to be anything significant. It will impact about, I would say, 80% of the new sales, because only 10 to 20% depending on the segment of the current sales is comes with AC. Right, but since the cost impact is not that high, it should not have any impact. I think as far as I remember, the regulation is becoming effective from June 1st or 2nd week of next year.
Got it. That's helpful. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Raghunandan NL from Nuvama Research. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity and festive greetings. Sir, firstly, on the non-vehicle business, power solutions and spares have done well. How do you see the outlook ahead for the non-vehicle business? And if you can also talk a bit about the defense outlook.
Okay, so let me start with defense, and I'll ask Balaji to also pitch in. On the defense side, you know that last year was a damn good year for us. We had more than doubled our top line on defense. And I'm happy to say that even in H1, we have almost doubled our defense top line. So like we had been saying earlier, that we have a very strong pipeline of orders and also of future visibility of orders as far as defense is concerned. So I think we'll be performing quite well, not just this year, but also in the years ahead or as per on the defense side. On power solution, although the H1 has not optically posted, we have posted a huge growth. Actually, the volume growth has been slightly negative, but we were expecting that because last year you would recall that in H1 there was a lot of pre-buy because of the emission norms. and therefore we were expecting a kind of a slight degrowth in PSP volumes this year. But H2 outlook is very, very strong on PSP, and overall for the year, I think we will do very, very well. We have already taken a very aspirational target as far as PSP is concerned, and I am very hopeful that we will be able to deliver on that. On the aftermarket side, we are continuously growing at about 15%. In H1 also, we have grown, I think, by 14% or so. This is a business which has a lot of future potential, and therefore we will continue to, you know, tap that potential as well. Lastly, on the international business, which is also a higher margin business for us, we have done fairly good despite all the geopolitical challenges in several parts of the world. Although the SAARC market is way down and continues to be down, but we have done really well in our other markets, which are GCC, Africa. We have also made an entry into Southeast Asia now. Like we told you earlier, that this would be our next attempt to expand geographically. So overall, we are doing very well on international operations, and I think I can go ahead and tell you that most probably this year would be our best year ever as far as international business is concerned.
Thank you, sir, for the comprehensive answer. And on the just a clarification on the export side, you had earlier indicated that efforts will remain, that the share will continue to increase in the overall revenues. How do you see it 2-3 years down the line?
See, the intention is to substantially grow our export volumes. In the long term, I would say that our aspiration is to deliver more than 50,000 units of exports volume from this company, right? So you can do the math and figure out that at that level, exports would be substantial. But definitely we have to build it up. You know, exports is not that easy, as you are all aware. Although we have a lot of strengths, because Ashok Leyland was one company that created different home bases, you know, in different parts of the world. For example, like in UAE, we have a factory that is there for many, many years, and that gives us a huge advantage, you know, in terms of building a local brand that is valued by the customers, and also gives us some preference, you know, in doing business in those markets. But yes, we are very focused on hitting this long-term target. We are investing a lot in new development of products, as well as we are entering into new markets of our choice. You know, so if we continue to do well here on these two fronts, I am quite confident, you know, that we should be doing well year on year on exports.
Thank you, sir. And how do you see the support to electrification from PM e-drive scheme and payment security mechanism? I understand that you have 2,000 pending orders in buses, and you also indicated 180 orders for electric trucks.
Yeah, Raghu, that's right. I mean, you know, optimism on the EV bus side is building every day. You know, the government also is coming up with a lot of positive statements as far as electrification of public transport is concerned. Yeah, and Switch is very well positioned along with OHM to be able to participate and lead this whole journey in the country. Our focus in Switch has been to create the best of the products. Yeah, and we have, for that to that extent, we have been running this company on a very tight leash. The only money that we were really spending was in product development, and the entire focus was there. Like I said in my opening statement, we have come up with a completely new product, which is a 12-meter ultra-low-floor bus, which we will be delivering to Delhi and Bangalore very soon. So, I mean, we are quite happy with the progress actually that Switch and OHM are doing. And we are also positive that Switch, if not in quarter four of this year, by quarter one or quarter two of next year should be also EBITDA positive. I'm talking about Switch India, yeah. So yes, I mean, we have this order book. We are producing, we are ramping up our production of electric buses. We do hope that we will complete this huge order that we have in the next 12 to 15 months.
Great, sir. Good to hear that. And lastly, Balaji, sir, if you can share the tax rate.
Mr. Raghunandan.
We can work for the year.
May I request that?
Yeah, I'll fall back in the queue. Thank you.
For follow-up questions, as there are several other participants waiting for their turn. Thank you very much. So the next question is from the line of Amit Hiranandani from SMIFS Limited. Please go ahead.
Congrats, team, for good operational performance in this tough environment. Sir, based on our on-ground checks, the replacement demand is not that significantly growing as per the estimates. So can you please share your findings and views on the same?
Yeah, Amit, thank you for the question. I mean, if you are referring to Q2, I would agree with you that there has been a kind of pushback on the replacement demand because of all these factors that I had earlier mentioned about monsoon and the slow takeoff in the government CapEx, etc. But you know, and we have discussed this before, that we are at the maximum aging of our current fleets in this country, right? And this number has passed even, I think, 10 or 10 and a half years now. And historically, this number has been close to seven, seven and a half. So as soon as I think the environment becomes more positive, which we hope it will starting November, I think you will see a lot of that replacement demand coming back.
All right. And sir, how was the discounting situation in Q2 vis-à-vis Q1? And sir, would you be comfortable in sharing the average discount number for Q1 and Q2?
No, Amit, we don't normally look at the discounts and monitor the discounts per se separately. We look at what we call it as the net sale realization, which is after reducing the discounts. So we don't monitor and we don't share the discount numbers separately, Amit.
But generally speaking, Amit, the competition intensity, I would say, is similar to what it has been in the past. I wouldn't say it has grown or it has reduced. And we do a lot of CV business, especially on the MHCV side, is done with large fleet buyers. And therefore, the situation may be different from one deal to another. Yeah, but on as far as Ashok Leyland is concerned, as we have said in the past as well, we have a certain threshold internally below which we will never go, even if we have to lose a deal. So that philosophy is very, very clear. We are not going to use discounts as a tool to gain market share. Market share has to come through our fundamental strengths that we will develop over time. So focus clearly is on profitable growth. It's not on buying market share.
Sir, additionally, have you taken any kind of price increases in Q2 and so far in October and November?
See, it is a continuous ongoing process, Amit. Although in a structured way, if you ask me whether have you done it by way of price circular, have you increased it, we have not done that. But if you ask me whether there is an attempt which has been done, we keep attempting by way of reduction of the discounts on every month, whereby we increase our, we get our average selling price, or we call it as net sale realization improving. This we keep doing every month. We look at the opportunities, we look at the geographies, we look at the models, then we appropriately price, and then we try and get the realization. One of the main levers which we have been indicating, which we have indicated about one and a half years back, is also that recovery, higher recovery from the customers, which we keep doing.
I mean, just to add another element that we are quite focused on is to look at what kind of mix we want to sell, because we have a very wide product portfolio starting from I'm talking about MHCV starting from, you know, 19 ton and going up to 55 ton. So we keep a very sharp eye on the mix. Of course, some of it depends on how the industry is moving. But as far as possible, we try to sell higher margin products. Another thing is that whenever we launch or we come up with new products or variants, we try to maximize margins on those because they always come up with some new technology or new feature that supposedly customer values more.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much, sir. And all the best.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Pramod Kumar from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity. First question to you, sir, on the demand. We've been optimistic about demand, but hypothetically, let's assume the demand doesn't kind of recover that well. Then what is the plan? Because we are currently prioritizing profitable growth, but when in the context where industry starts underperforming expectations, what would be the, would we continue to prioritize profitability over market share and at the expense of operating leverage? So I'm just trying to understand this because the margins are pretty solid given the industry performance and what your peers have performed in terms of profitability, no doubt about that. But I'm just was wondering how long will we kind of prioritize margins over volumes? Because at the end of the day, losing a customer is not a great thing and winning them back is normally not that easy either. So if you can just help us understand this, how long will we kind of continue with this strategy and if push comes to show, if volumes don't recover, could there be anything? Because that is something which is there in the mind of a lot of investors. And volume is something which is quite important for even investors. For the company's growth. So just trying to understand how are you thinking about this from your position, sir?
Yeah, Pramod, just to clarify, you know, I mean, while we make that statement, we do realize that, you know, we have to participate in the market. We have to participate in all the deals, right? And therefore, I said, you know, there is a threshold that we have below which we will not go because it just doesn't make sense to get volume at that kind of pricing or that kind of a margin, right? So that threshold, of course, we do it smartly. I mean, it's not like something always fixed. That threshold also is dynamic. We look at other factors, of course, as to how business is doing, other commodities are doing, other LCV, other businesses are doing, and then we dynamically kind of look at that threshold. But my point is not to be taken literally, but saying that directionally, you know, that is the thought. You know, that we are not going to sacrifice margin beyond a point to just gain market share because we have always believed and we have always seen that such market share increases are so temporary in nature that if you want to buy them, it is like super easy to lose it all over again. Huh? If you just don't stick to the price. And once you drop the price below a certain level, it is almost impossible to raise it back in. Yeah, so, I mean, we all know all these things, yeah, so, but the main point is that sticking to some kind of a policy, some kind of a direction is, I think Ashok Leyland is very, very disciplined on that now. The second thing I would say is that what we have done over the last few years, not just recently, is also we have looked at lowering our break-even. So if you just, you have the numbers, if you just compare Ashok Leyland of 5 or 7 years back and you compare it with Ashok Leyland of today, you will see that the break-even has really, really been lowered to very low numbers now. Yeah. One proof of that is in Q2, you would have seen that our top line has degrown by 9%. But our PAT has still grown by 12%, even if I exclude all the exceptional items. So this is a proof of the pudding that what we are saying, you know. So on one side, we want to make us, you know, foolproof against any downturns in the market. But on the other side, we would, we are very hopeful that the market still has a lot of steam in it. And market should continue to grow.
Okay, and on that note, Shenu, I think I have to compliment Balaji and the team and yourself for the kind of cost control. I think it's unprecedented the kind of cost controls what we've seen here. over the years, actually. And in that sense, is it true for you and the industry also that even in a not so great volume scenario, the industry profitability is clearly moved to a higher trajectory? And also at the same time, has the volatility or the upcycle, downcycle, the fluctuations have also kind of moderated reasonably? Is that a fair assessment, or is it still too early to call, Shiva, for the as the industry?
Yeah, that is what we tend to believe. We believe even if there would be downturns in future at any given point in time, I think the extent of the fall or the extent of the rise would not be as steep as it has been there historically. You know, I mean, the country is much more, much more better in all different ways now. You know, country is much more stable. I mean, gone are those days where something would happen globally and India would be just, reeling under lots of pressures. So we all understand that, and that is that phenomena is a direct impact on how CV industry should behave in the future. You know, I mean, nothing can be said with certainty, but at least that is what our assessment is right now.
As a final question on LCV as a category, some of your peers have called out the reasonable recovery what they see in the LCV category. So what are you seeing, especially in the last mile mobility segment, and how are our launch plans there? Because that is one segment where we are underrepresented. So, and there's this potential for market. So if you can just talk more about the LCV category, what's happening on the ground, like what you talked about the MHCV utilization rates and all those, and also your plans for this particular segment, sir. Thank you.
See, Pramod, we don't like to talk so much about the LCV industry as such. I think you should ask our peers more about it. And the reason I'll tell you why, because see, what the one thing is that, we are addressing only 50% of the LCV market right now. We have already stated many times publicly as well that we want to achieve about 80%, 85% participation of the LCV industry. So all these product launches that you see, they are actually a step in that direction. Of course, this will happen over a few years, not immediately, right? But not just this year, but even in next few years, you will continue to see a lot of launches from Ashok Leyland in the LCV. Only reason is because we think there is quite a headroom there for us to grow. So that is one. The other thing is, even although we are now number two player in 2 to 3.5 ton category, we are the newest entrant in this LCV business. We started only 11-12 years ago, and now being number two is a moment of pride for us. But also, if you look at that 20% market share, actually we are quite lopsided in our presence. South, if you see, we have many markets, many states, many regions where our market share is as high as 35-40%, right? And if you look at some of the regions in the north or the east or the center, we still have single digit. Yeah, so we are not too much concerned about the market movement, although we are very optimistic that this LCV has even a higher potential to grow in future than MHCV in terms of volume growth, because of last mile, because of rural penetration and all that. But our focus is just to get a better share of this market, both on the geographical expansion side and also how we can come up with a more wider and better product portfolio.
Thanks a lot, sir. Wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Amyn Pirani from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Actually, my first question is on the point that you mentioned about Hinduja Leyland Finance. You mentioned that you expect it to complete by 1H of FY26. Now, I just wanted to understand, this process has been delayed quite a bit. So is there anything, which is delaying the process specifically? Also, since you had tried to do an IPO several years back, but then, you changed your plan, given the kind of market that we've had, in terms of, new issues being subscribed, is there a rethink that you can have, or now you are sticking to that original plan? And if yes, then, what is causing these significant delays in the process?
If I can answer that, Dheeraj here. The delays have really predominantly been in just the normal regulatory approvals and nothing more than that. there is no change in the plans. We will go ahead with this, and we have, you know, we're going by based on the indications that have been given. And so there are regulatory approvals coming from RBI on, of course, the listing as well. But nothing more than that. I think we are quite optimistic in terms of the company, its performance. We don't feel that the true value of the company is captured today in the in Ashok Leyland. And I think once this does get listed through the reverse merger route, there will be a better appreciation of the company and its performance.
Thank you. That's good to know. So is there any broad update that we can have on a first half basis with respect to maybe what is the book size, you know, what's the PBT, is there any asset quality? And you also mentioned that you haven't invested any money in the subsidiaries in first half, but some investments would be required in the second half. So any broad indication as to, you know, what that investment could be for Hinduja Leyland Finance and probably for the other businesses?
Balaji, you have the details with you?
Yeah, I have the details and I'll share. The asset under management for Hinduja Leyland Finance alone is about 42,000 crores. And the housing finance is around 12,500 crores. So both put together, the size is 54,500 crores. That's the size. And you are talking about the profitability. It is revenue is about 3,000 crores, and profit is around 350 crores. And regarding the investments in H2, we might have to invest some in the towards the share capital of Hinduja Leyland Finance. We will know as we progress during the financial year, depending on their requirement as well as on the capital adequacy ratio. We may have to fund, but it will not be very substantial amount. It could be around, in my estimate, it could be around 200 to 250 crores equity infusion, which may happen.
Okay. Okay. And any broad number for... you know, either Switch or Ohm?
Switch in terms of investment?
Yeah, in terms of investments in the second half.
Okay.
So that number, we are still trying to see how it pans out. But rough estimates would be about below 500 crores.
350 to 500.
Yeah, below 500.
Okay. Great. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Pramod Amte from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking the question. So this is with regard to the EV trucks which you have launched. Wanted to know what use cases you are trying to target and what's the IRR and the customers looking at per se. First. And second, if you have to look at in the medium term, 3 to 5 years, in those sub-segments where you are trying user case, whatever penetrations you are looking from your product.
Yeah, so see, one thing we have to just keep in mind that these are very initial stage for electrification of trucks. You know, so we are also, like many others, we are also exploring all these issues that you have been asking. You know, of course, the TCO right now of the electric truck is not so favorable as compared to diesel. But in future, we all hope that this will not be the case. Now, as far as the real application is concerned, you know, other data that is, you know, important for the customer to understand, I think the whole industry is kind of in the same boat. So it would be difficult to answer that question. I would just say that this is very initial stages and we are all kind of, you know, trying to understand this whole ecosystem of electrification of trucks.
And the second question is with regard to the LCV portfolio expansion. In the last analyst meet, you had talked about a smaller LCV to come through. Any timelines for the same?
No, we don't have any timelines right now. We are still working on the proposal. It's not an easy one, as I have always been saying. You know, we have an established competitor in that space, which have been there for more than 2 decades. And therefore, for us to find the right differentiation and to find the right commercial value proposition for the market is going to take some time. But we are actively working on it.
Sure. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Kumar Rakesh from BNP. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for taking my question. My first question was on the second half demand outlook, which you spoke about, that you are hopeful that we should see a better growth. While you talked about multiple drivers which you think could play out, but have you started seeing on the ground any of those drivers to start changing? Because in the first half as well, the utilization seemed to be reasonably okay. Although the government spending was not there, which you spoke about, and also the cash outflow from the government was restricted. So have you started seeing any movement to happen in any of those fronts between last month to this month?
Yeah, Kumar, like I said, you know, the biggest indicator of the on-ground sentiment or on-ground development is the fleet utilization. You know, if the fleet utilization gets above 85-90%, that triggers a lot of people to go for new vehicles. So if you read the October data, it already indicates that at a country average level, the fleet utilization is quite high, right? So that is the biggest positive that we can see.
Great, thanks for that. My second question was on the bus segment. So that is one segment which has definitely been seeing much stronger growth while other segments have been struggling. So what is driving that growth? Is it STUs upgrading their buses across the state, and you see that to continue in the second half or beyond that as well? And we have also gained market share in the buses segment. So what is helping us to gain market share? What is different that we are doing in the bus now?
Bus is going to be, a more longish story. Yeah, there was a lot of pent-up demand in the market, and also a lot of governments want to provide really better services as far as public transport is concerned. You know, so all that is really going to drive, and many state governments are now finding ways to raise the right kind of money to be investing in this. So all that is coming together. And even on the private side, there is, after COVID, there is a lot of pent-up demand, you know, in both school staff and even in intercity kind of applications. So this bus story is going to be there for more time. Coming to Ashok Leyland, you know, we have always been considered the best in the buses, MHCV buses, because of our long solid reputation, not just on the side of building good affordable products, but also the way we can service these. So of course that is there, but recently, if you see, we have put out some fantastic models in the market. Last year we launched a 13.5 meter bus, and we were the first one to do so in the country, and now we are ready to launch another bus where we'll be the first one again, which will be a 15 meter front engine bus, competing in the high end of intercity movement. So that would be also something which we are looking forward to, although the launch will not be this year, it will be next year. And then on the ICV bus side, where we have a relatively lower market share, you know, that also we are transforming our entire product portfolio. In some of the, we had products there, but somewhere we had a issue of performance, and in some other segments we had an issue on the way the buses were built in terms of their commercial proposition. So we've been able to address all of that, mostly, I would say. The rest will continue, and therefore we do expect to actually retain, I would say, market share on the bigger buses, but gain market share on the smaller buses now going forward.
Great. Thanks a lot for that detailed answer.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. I had a question on Switch. We have an order book of about 2,000. Over what period are we expecting to deliver this? And when you talk of EBITDA breakeven, what kind of volume levels would the company need to do for that EBITDA breakeven on a quarterly basis or annual basis? Also, does the breakeven include the PLI benefit or it doesn't?
Yeah, Kapil, this order book of 2,000 that we have in hand, we hope that we will be able to complete in about 15 months of time. We are trying for earlier, but I think at the current visibility level, it looks like it will take 15 months or so. So that is one. The other thing is that break-even that we are trying to establish should actually happen at the current level of volumes. Yeah, with the higher volumes, we will be looking forward to have even a PAT level break-even. And ultimately, our aim is to create self-sufficient Switch India over next 2 to 3 years, you know, so that it does not have to depend or need any external investments. So we are, like I said, we are reasonably happy with the way Switch is progressing. And financial numbers is one thing, but also what is, I think, more important for a medium and long term is the investments we are making in the product development on Switch. We have heard a lot of good things about Switch buses. I mean, today also I met somebody from Bombay and they were really praising the fit and finish and the overall styling and comfort of the Switch double decker bus in Mumbai. So that is what makes us happy more than the numbers. And as far as PLI is concerned, we have not taken any benefits of PLI scheme in account yet.
Okay, so that will be over and above this EBITDA breakeven.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And does Ashok Leyland standalone have any revenues from Switch or it doesn't?
Revenues from Switch? No, nothing.
Okay. All right. The second question is on Ohm. Do you see this as a new revenue stream and what kind of profitability in a steady state can this business generate? And also in terms of funding requirements, what are your thoughts here? Just some broad thoughts here would help.
Yeah, just to clarify on your previous point, we do some work for Switch, you know, because we want to do some, we don't want to kind of duplicate some of the investments we have made, don't want to create some of the facilities. So there is some revenue, yeah, but very small right now and very insignificant. It's basically the conversion cost of some of the buses and LCVs that we are building for them. As far as Ohm is concerned, this is a relatively new company. Last year we had put in an equity of 300 crores, and basis that we have a potential to raise, let us say, about 900 to 1,000 crores of debt in that company. So that makes it about 12 to 1,300 crores in terms of capital available to invest in EMAS business. So right now we are fine. I mean, they have just won an order of 500 buses from 300 buses from Bangalore, which we are in the process of developing and delivering. They have also recently won an order of 500 buses from MTC. Yeah. So right now I think the capital is enough. I mean, if some more capital is required, we will put in some more money. But at the same time, as far as Ohm is concerned, we will also look at any external investments when required.
So is it a profitable business? So any color on ROCs or margins in steady state for this kind of business that you may have looked at?
Appeal, it is too early to talk about the ROC and all for that business here. It is slowly evolving and it will take time for us to give you the numbers on the ROCE and the profitability and all.
Understood. Sir, just a last housekeeping question. If you could give the overall targets for both CapEx and investments for full year FY25, that would be great.
CapEx, we would like to stick to that 750 crores of CapEx, which we have indicated earlier, 800 crores max. We'll be sticking to those numbers. And on the investment side, we have spoken about it. As of now, there's not much of a requirement of investments in associate companies. But in the second half, at various point of time in this call, we have indicated. One is on the Hinduja Leyland Finance side. We said that we may have to invest 200 to 250 crores, and if need be, we may have to make necessary investments in. No, 500 to 750 crores in the maximum situation.
All right, sir. Thank you and have a good day. Bye.
Thank you very much. Due to time constraints, we will take that as the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you everyone for joining us on this call. You know, the only thing in the closing comments I would like to say is that, you know, we are very, very focused and very disciplined on our path that we had chosen and that we had shared with you about a year and a half back. And we are putting in all the efforts to reach those midterm goals that we have set for ourselves. Thank you very much for supporting the show.
Thank you very much, sir. On behalf of Avendus Spark, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.
Thank you.